Astito Yoga Dharanam. The yogic situation is that of detachment from all sensual engagements, closing all the doors of the senses, and fixing the mind on the heart and the life air at the top of the head. One establishes himself in yoga. Om iti ekaksharam brahma vyaharan mam anusmaran yaprayati ityajan deham sayati paramam gatim. After being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will certainly reach the spiritual planets. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is clearly stated here that Om, Brahman, and Lord Krishna are not different. The impersonal sound of Krishna is Om, but the sound Hare Krishna contains Om. The chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is clearly recommended for this age. So, if one quits his body at the end of his life chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, he certainly reaches one of the spiritual planets, according to the mode of his practice. The devotees of Krishna enter the Krishna planet, Goloka Vrindavan. For the personalists, there are also innumerable other planets, known as the Vaikuntha planets, in the spiritual sky, whereas the impersonalists remain in the Brahma Jyoti. We can have translation in the back. That most people, the Gita is entitled Attaining the Supreme. Krishna is herein explaining the process of Dhyana Yoga, which is an aspect of Astanga Yoga. And in the sixth chapter, Krishna also describes in very great detail how one can elevate one's consciousness through this particular path of spiritual elevation. It is a very difficult path. Krishna explains here that one must completely detach oneself from all sensual engagements. In fact, he explains that this path of silent meditation cannot be done where there is allurements or sensual engagements. It is impossible to perform in the cities. One has to go to a secluded place. One has to fast. One absolutely must follow complete celibacy. And one must, at that time, through the practice of controlling one's breath, controlling one's physical condition through asanas, follow very, very, very strict principles of morality. One must sit and, with a completely calm mind, fix one's consciousness on the Supreme Lord within the heart. In this age of Kali Yuga, it is impossible. In fact, after Arjuna heard this description from Lord Krishna, he said that what you are saying, to control the mind in this way through meditation, it is unendurable to me. I am a grihastha with a family, and I have come here to fight a war. I have my occupation to fulfill. How could I possibly be expected to perform this type of yoga? In fact, Arjuna said, it appears to me that to control the mind, as you are explaining, is more difficult than to control the raging wind. And we know that no one can control the wind except Krishna. Krishna is the controller of all controllers, Sarveshwareshwara. Just as Krishna is the only one who has the power to control the wind, he is ultimately the only person who has the power to control your mind. In previous ages, not in Dwapara Yuga, not even in Treta Yuga, but in Satya Yuga, people were so God-conscious, naturally, that they could actually perform this system of Dhyan Yoga and attain the perfection of life. Krishna is explaining here that by chanting the sacred syllable Om, which is a holy name of the Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains the Lord has many names, and Omkara is one of the very, very sacred names of the Lord. In fact, in the Vedic mantras, Omkar is the invocation of most of the great mantras and classical literatures in the Vedas. And Omkar is simply the invocation of the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna explains in Gita, as you approach him, he reveals himself accordingly. Generally, the syllable Om is chanted by people who are approaching the impersonal aspect of the Lord. So in this sense, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that it is the impersonal, it is the vibration representing the impersonal nature of the Supreme. But for a devotee who approaches Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Omkara reveals Krishna in his beautiful Shamsundar two-fold bending form. Krishna says, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu, that I am the sacred syllable Om. So this particular form of meditation is so difficult. And the yogis, by performing these types of meditation, they can literally travel to any part of the universe that they so desire. When your life heirs are raised from the lower chakras to the upper chakras, at that time, at the time when the spirit soul, when you have the power to have it come through the top of your head, you can go to any destination you like. If you want, you can go to California within a second. Today, that's where yogis want to go, to California. Because they could make a lot of money, and there's beautiful young ladies there also. If you like, you can go to the moon planet. You can go to the Swargalokas, the planetary systems headed by Indra and the Devatas. You can go to any planet you so desire. But Krishna explains in Gita that all of these planets, the four basic principles of material existence are there. And that is birth, old age, disease, and death. Therefore, a devotee is not interested in any of those things. A devotee is interested in solving the problem, ultimately, of birth, old age, disease, and death. And therefore, a devotee takes to the process of yoga which Krishna and all the Vedic literatures recommend, especially for people in this age of Kali Yuga. And that is the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Because this chanting of Hari Nam, which is the basis, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord is the basis of bhakti, or the path of devotion, by which we are no longer depending on the mechanical process of controlling our own mind or senses, but rather we are handing our entire existence over as an offering to the lotus feet of Krishna, who is Yogeshwara. He is the supreme master of all yogis. Ishwara Parama Krishna. He is the controller of everything. He is the supreme controller. So therefore, we should not waste our time, Krishna recommends in Gita, practicing these other systems. We should just surrender to him. Srila Prabhupada used the example that some people are trying to achieve God in such an indirect and impossible way. Like trying to touch your nose, he said, by going around your entire body 20 times and somehow or other trying to reach it. But there is a direct process. The direct process is coming right to Krishna. Vedeshta saravaraham eva vedyo vedanta krit veda vedeva chaham. Krishna says, I am the goal of all the Vedas, and by all the Vedas I am to be known. He is also the compiler of all the Vedas. He is the knower, and he has revealed all knowledge. So why not just go direct to Krishna? To hand our life over to Krishna. That is the perfection of yoga. And in this age of Kali Yuga, manda sumanda matayo manda bhagyahu padrita, people have short lives. They are so much conditioned by material enjoyment. Who can possibly overcome the temptations of material illusions? No one can do it. But Krishna says in Gita, Daivi heshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mam evam ye prapadyante, that if you surrender to me, then easily you can cross beyond all of the pitfalls of material existence. It is explained that this material world is like a vast ocean. And this ocean is filled with so many sharks and so many terrible waves, and no one can cross it. Because actually this ocean has no end. It has no beginning and it has no end. And somehow or other, we are in this ocean. We're not on one side of the ocean. We're in the middle of the ocean. So to try to mechanically equip ourselves to swim across the ocean is the system of Astanga Yoga. But bhakti means to call for Krishna. Krishna is the swift deliverer from those who are revolving in the repetition of birth and death. Krishna comes and simply takes us out of this ocean. Just like the elephant Gajendra. He was such a very successful man. He was an elephant man. But he was very successful. He was big. He was strong. No one dared to challenge him because of his physical might. He was also very intelligent. They say elephants never forget. That is the saying. Gajendra was a very wise elephant. And he had literally subjugated the entire forest. And it wasn't an ordinary forest like in this world. This was a heavenly planet. Trikuta is a beautiful mountain. And the description of this forest, it was so heavenly that nothing even resembles it in this world. And Gajendra had nice family, beautiful wives, beautiful children, by elephant calculations, of course. But then what is the difference? Because as far as an elephant is concerned, your wife is quite ugly and skinny and worthless. So he had everything. And he was leisurely going with his family members just on a nice, pleasurable excursion. They were going on a holiday. They came to a beautiful lake, and he went in the lake and started splashing the clear, warm waters of the lake upon his loved ones. And then crocodile bit into his leg. This is material life. At any moment, this crocodile will bite into our legs in some form or other. One thing is guaranteed, the crocodile will get us sooner or later. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, but the crocodile is there just waiting for the opportune moment to bite our legs. Bite our legs means create an impossible situation of misery in our life. Something we have no power to overcome. And material civilization is trying to avoid that crocodile through science, through medicine, through technology, through creating so many comforts, trying to somehow or other avoid suffering. But the power of Maya is thorough and complete. The power of Maya does not in any way back off by our achievements in so-called material progress. Rather, she is orchestrating all of our achievements in so-called material progress. All of the wonderful inventions of this world which we are thinking are making life easier, which are supposed to avoid the problems and the sufferings of the world, it's all a big plan of Maya to make us suffer worse. It's her grand plan of illusion. All of these wonderful, wonderful materialistic forms of advancement are just sharpening the teeth of the crocodile of Maya so that the grip is tighter and tighter and more impossible to escape. And yet we are thinking that this is the solution. So Gajendra was very happily engaged until this crocodile bit him. And then he tried by his own efforts, but he was helpless. He was in this lake, and he couldn't get out. And his family members could not help him. And his friends could not help him. Ultimately, he didn't just start meditating on silently on the various chakras of his body. That wouldn't have helped him. What did he do? He helplessly realized that only Krishna can save me. And he invoked the presence of Krishna by chanting beautiful prayers, including his holy names. And Krishna appeared and rescued him. So we must know that Krishna is the only shelter. And we must learn how to find shelter in Krishna. That is the perfection of yoga. And the Yuga Dharma, which has been so beautifully revealed in the Vedic scriptures and has been so practically demonstrated by the Supreme Lord Himself in the Yuga Avatar of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has given us the means by which we can invoke the divine presence of Krishna and take shelter through the chanting of his holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Because Krishna is non-different than his name. There is no difference. Krishna is absolute. In this material world, everything is relative. If you chant water, you're quenched. Your thirst will never be quenched. If you chant flower, 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 you will not smell the fragrance of a flower. Because in this material world, the sound and the thing are different. And the thing that we are seeking satisfaction from cannot give us real satisfaction, because the soul wants eternal satisfaction. And the flower, its fragrance will last perhaps a day or two, but then it will be finished. Its beauty and its fragrance will give us no satisfaction. And you may call for water, and you may get water, but after you drink that water, after some time you will be thirsty again. But Krishna is unlimited. He is all attractive. The Maha Mantra we chant, Rama, means he is the supreme pleasure. When tasting Krishna, our desire for satisfaction is eternally satisfied, fulfilled. So Krishna is so kind and merciful that he has descended personally within his name. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. From Goloka Vrindavan, the supreme planet of the spiritual sky, Krishna has descended within his name. And all the beauty and opulences of Krishna have descended within his name. But the glory of God is revealed to us through his name to the very degree in which we take shelter of him sincerely. To take shelter of Krishna when we chant the holy name means to hear the name very attentively, to concentrate our attention in being very concentrated in hearing the beautiful sound of his name. When Gajendra, the king of elephants, was chanting prayers, his entire attention was on petitioning the Lord to save him. He was not thinking that if I get out of this mess, where will we go out to dinner with my family tomorrow? He was not thinking like that. He was not thinking what is showing on the television next week on my favorite program. He was not thinking of getting food or getting clothing for his family members. He wasn't thinking of any of these things. It was a desperate situation. He was just thinking, Krishna, save me. If you do not save me, I have nothing. Everything is lost. So it was with this concentration that Gajendra was chanting Harinam and offering his life in grateful obeisances to the Lord. And in Gajendra's prayers, he was explaining how wonderful it is to suffer in this world. How many of you think it's wonderful to suffer in this world? Most of us are trying to avoid suffering at all costs. Most of our life is just trying to avoid suffering. Material life means sochiti kangshati, hankering for things that we want for our sense enjoyment, whether it's mental, physical, or intellectual, and somehow or other trying to push away those things that cause us suffering. And Narottam Das Thakur, actually it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sang a beautiful song in his Sharanagati, in which he prays that, my Lord, my concern is just to serve you. I am not concerned with whether I suffer or enjoy. My concern is simply my service to you. I consider suffering and enjoyment to be non-different. I'm not attracted to one or averse to the other, because they are both helpful in my devotional service to you. But my purpose is simply to please you. In this way, happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, success, failure, pleasure and pain, a devotee isn't concerned with either one, either way. A devotee understands that whatever helps me to concentrate my mind most on serving Krishna, that is the blessing of the Lord. Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, one time someone came to him and was complaining against one of his disciples. He said, "Your disciple, it is now the month of Chaitra. That means April, May. Very hot season. And this disciple of yours, he is going out in the noontime to collect alms, going house to house begging at the doors of Vaishnav Brahmins." He said, "It is so hot, it is so torturous. And Navadvipa is very hot in the summer months." They said, "All the other beggars, all the other Babajis and Sadhus, they go in the early morning to beg when it is not so hot. It is terribly painful. Why is he doing like this? It is not practical." And Gaurakishore Das Babaji used this as an opportunity to preach. He said, "For a devotee, he is not concerned with hardships or easy things. He is not concerned with something uncomfortable or comfortable. He is simply concerned with serving Krishna. And actually, the situations that are most uncomfortable help us to concentrate most on taking shelter of our service in our bhajan. Because at that time, we have to call out for help. When things are very nice, very comfortable, the tendency is to chant the holy names in a careless way. We have seen in the mountainous regions where there is snow and ice on the roads, sometimes devotees are driving and they begin to slip and start falling off mountains. And believe me, when they're falling off that mountain, I have heard from people who have lived through it, they are chanting the holy names very attentively. They're not thinking of anything but Krishna. Some of the most attentive kirtans takes place in situations like that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. So this is what it means to take shelter of Krishna when we are chanting his name. To really offer our consciousness in utter concentration, utter attentiveness on seeking help from the Lord, of offering ourselves to the Lord. And one who chants in this state of mind, Trinarapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishvana Amanina Manadena Kirataniya Sadahari, very quickly attains Krishna. When we speak about being more humble than a blade of grass, to be humble means to feel yourself helpless. If you think, "Oh, I am a big, big man, I'm a big, big Vaishnava, I have attained so much credibility in my various services, I have impressed so many people by what I can do, I am very successful, I am very affluent," how can you take shelter of Krishna in such a mood? At the most, you can chant the holy names thinking that this will embellish my fame and prestige in this world. But a devotee who is actually sincere and is being properly trained in the association of Vaishnavas understands that whatever situation, we are all helpless. We are all utterly dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Even if we are big, big, successful persons like Gajendra, we are all in the crocodile of death. The grip is on us. So understanding the reality of our situation in this world, we must hear the holy name of the Lord. Chanting the holy name should not be done with a negligent mind. It should not be done carelessly. It should be done desperately. And it is this type of chanting which is the Yuga Dharma. It is this type of chanting that will ultimately clean our heart of all the dirt and rubbish of our material misconceptions and our attachments to the temporary things of this world. People are so much thinking, I am this body. And they are so much attached to the pleasures of this body. And a little elevated than that, we think are our mind, and we are attached to the pleasures of the mind. More elevated than that is when we think we are the intelligence, and we try to satisfy our intelligence. But these are all material considerations. We must transcend the body, the mind, and the intelligence and come to the actual transcendental stage of the soul, the Atma, which is eternal. And for the Atma, there is only one purpose of life. There is only one satisfaction, and that is to be reunited with the Paramatma, with Krishna. Reunited through devotion, through service. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. That is our everlasting position, to be the servant of the servant of the Lord, and that should be our goal, our ambition in life. And this is attained through the practice of real yoga, the yoga of pleasing Krishna, of attracting Krishna to attract us out of this material existence. So as Gajendra was holding up this lotus flower and praying to the Lord to protect, the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally appeared, and with his own chakra he cut off the mouth of the crocodile. And then he, by his divine mercy, he transformed Gajendra from his wretched elephant body to his eternal, beautiful spiritual body. And on that very day, he took him back home, back to Godhead. That is the purpose of Back to Godhead magazine, to convince us all to come to the same conclusion as Gajendra, to chant Hare Krishna with sincere faith, and to go back to the spiritual world, back to Godhead. It's not ordinary publication. It has only one purpose, to convince people to take shelter of the holy name of Krishna. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said we have so many literatures. But actually, if one sincerely chants the holy name of Krishna, there's no need to read any literature. All knowledge is contained within the name of the Lord. Of course, we must keep our mind always engaged in Krishna's service, hearing the glories and the pastimes of the Lord, fixing our conviction and our determination in the process of bhakti. It is very important to read the wonderful books that Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas have given us. But factually, The conclusion of all these books is that you can get nowhere without purely chanting the holy names. And if somehow or other you have no capacity to read, there's no problem. You just chant the holy names and everything will be revealed, because Krishna will be revealed, who is the source of everything. So we must develop, through hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, we must develop this complete faith that Krishna is non-different than his name. Srila Prabhupada once challenged his disciples, some of his leaders, "Are you convinced that Krishna is non-different than his name? Are you convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead?" Now, it's easy to say yes, but when we search our hearts, are we actually convinced? If we were convinced, we would be taking shelter of Krishna's name 24 hours a day. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Are we convinced that this material world is not our home? If we were, we would not be making grand arrangements to try to find happiness in this world of birth and death. Therefore, the association of devotees and hearing the glories of the Lord is of ultimate importance to convince us of this fact. But once we are convinced, the means and the way by which we can become liberated from all the entanglements of material life is to take shelter of the name of Krishna. Thank you very much. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, initially you mentioned about Ashtanga Yoga, and in the Ashtanga Yoga I have heard that there is a process of Kundalini awakening, wherein the Kundalini is taken to the chakra in the head, and people who follow this process claim that when the Kundalini reaches the head, it leads to self-realization. So how far is it true?
If you can do it, it's true. But you'll have to take birth again in Satya Yuga to do it. It is very dangerous. These people teaching these are generally big, big cheaters. Because according to the Vedic Shastras, it is such a dangerous path. As your energies are raising from lower chakras to higher chakras, there are so many dangers that take place. People can become literally sexually mad. People can go insane. People can become haunted by ghosts in this process. Therefore, these people who are just telling you to stay home and do these types of sadhana, it's all nonsense. This type of yoga, you have to be with a self-realized yogi who has realized it, and you have to be with him 24 hours a day under his guidance, teaching you, training you, helping you overcome the various pitfalls and dangers of this process. And generally what happens is when your consciousness elevates to a certain level, heavenly enjoyments and mystic powers are provided for you. And you cannot attain self-realization if you are slightly attracted to any of them. Therefore, sometimes people who follow this system get a little bit of mystic power and they stop there. And their egos become gigantic. They don't become humble like a blade of grass. These people that follow these yogic systems generally become not tolerant like a tree, but their ego becomes big like a tree. They think that I am God, I am the controller, I am the master. This is a terrible danger. So it is not recommended in this age of Kali Yuga. And the only means by which it can even be considered, if you are living in a jungle with a self-realized yogi your whole life through under his very strict supervision. Otherwise, you will not attain self-realization. You will just get trapped by material energy. And if you're trapped on a little bit of a higher platform, you will consider that self-realization. If you get trapped on a little bit higher platform, you'll be convinced that you are God. So therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami and our acharyas say, kick it out, don't even go near those processes of yoga. You cannot follow bhakti if you have any tinge of those inclinations, of those paths. Pure bhakti cannot manifest in your heart. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmanyanavratam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti rutam. We should simply learn how to serve the Lord and please the Lord and depend on His mercy. Krishna can take your kundalini and bring it back to the spiritual world in a second if He so desires. But we are not concerned with our kundalini. We are simply concerned with pleasing Krishna. The gopis of Vrindavan, they simply wanted to please Krishna. Krishna's Yogeshwara. It is His promise. He will always protect His devotee. Does that answer your question?
Maharaj, in the class... Hare Krishna. You mentioned in the class that a devotee is not concerned with hardships, but situations that are most uncomfortable help him to come out of this. I mean, he prays to the Lord even in these uncomfortable situations. But then there are certain situations in devotees' lives, like they have some kind of terminal disease or they have very painful circumstances. Then sometimes they cannot even chant their rounds, or they are lying in such a helpless condition. And in that kind of situation, is it right to help, to pray to the Lord to remove this kind of situation, so that at least one can chant and perform other services?
We should accept what is favorable for devotional service and reject what is unfavorable for devotional service. But ultimately, we will be put in a helpless condition. And devotees are not aspiring to be miserable. Devotees are aspiring to remember Krishna, to please Krishna and serve Krishna. And whatever way Krishna arranges, we should understand that it is what I need. If I am sincerely approaching Krishna and He puts me in a difficult situation, then this must be the proper medicine for me. If we're suffering terribly, we should try to do whatever's necessary to help us remember Krishna. But we shouldn't do it simply because we want to enjoy the comforts of our body. If we pray to Krishna, please make the pain less so that I can remember you better. Usually what happens is when the pain gets less, we forget Krishna. So we should not pray for that. A sincere devotee will pray, Krishna, you know what's best for me. Just help me remember you. If you want to accelerate the pain, if you want to reduce the pain, you know what I need. But help me remember you. That is the ideal perfect prayer of a devotee. Yes?
Lecture that happiness and miseries always come in a devotee's life. So when a person is in difficulty, it is the mercy of Krishna and Guru, and in association of devotees, it is easy to remember Krishna. But when a person is in a very nice situation, nice association of devotees, and spiritually also everything is going very nice, it's very difficult to maintain the same mood of helplessness and utter dependence on Krishna. So we are grateful to Krishna that he has given us a nice situation, but there is always a fear that we may forget Krishna. So how do you maintain that?
Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. He didn't say, chant Hare Krishna and be miserable. Devotees should be happy, but they should be happy because of Krishna. They should be happy chanting in kirtan, they should be happy hearing pravachan, they should be happy being with devotees, they should be happy serving. We shouldn't think, oh, I'm happy, this is terrible. We should not be happy with material comforts. We should not be happy with material enjoyment. We should not be happy with material facilities. We should be happy associating with devotees and chanting the holy names. Last night at Radha Gopinath's temple, devotees appeared to be quite happy. But what were the facilities? Just some old flowers were being thrown on everyone's head. But it was prasad. If a materialistic person were to come and someone threw some of these old little dirty. But because it's prasad, devotees are happy. Because they're amongst Vaishnavas, they're happy. They're before the deity, they're happy. They're seeing the beauty of the deity. They're seeing the wonderful seva the deity has received. They're happy. So we want to be happy like this. But that happiness is spiritual happiness. But material facilities, that we should not be attached to. If we become attached to material happiness, then we cannot experience that joy of spiritual happiness. So the difficulties and the pains of this material world, those things we welcome. But the joy and the bliss of chanting and hearing and serving Vaishnavas, that we will never detach ourselves from. Krishna says in Bhagavatam, Srinvatam Sukata Krishna Pundya Shravana Tirkana Hridyantastopya Bhadanadi Vidunoti Suritsatam. When Krishna sees you take pleasure in hearing about you, he becomes pleased. He's pleased with your pleasure. When he sees that you're taking pleasure, sacrificing your consciousness to hearing about him, he becomes so happy, he cleans your heart and reveals himself. So don't try to be miserable. But miseries will come on the physical level. And you understand that these miseries are meant to induce you to take shelter of where real happiness is. And that is hearing and chanting with the Vaishnavas. But if you try to detach yourself from the happiness of hearing and chanting amongst the Vaishnavas, then you are bound forever to try to find happiness in this world of death. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So with this note, we should have kirtan. Would you like to add anything, Nartaki Mataji? Hari Bol.